Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Bevan O'Gara, the new producing artistic director of Ithaca's highly acclaimed Kitchen Theater Company. O'Gara is a graduate of Boston University, and she spent 15 years with the Huntington Theater Company in Boston, where most recently she was associate producer. She also played an active role in helping to develop new work by writers such as Craig Lucas, Melinda Lopez, and Lydia Diamond. She also served as director for many award-winning plays and received the Lois Roach Award for Outstanding Commitment to the Boston Theater Community. And welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Now, I always want to find out about people's beginnings. What was it that drew you into theater in the first place?
I get that question a lot, and I've done theater as long as I can remember. I actually grew up with a group of friends who, at some point when I was about 8 or 9 years old, my parents said, you can have Valerie and Melissa over, but there are no plays in the backyard. So it's been something I've been doing forever. I got excited about directing, actually, in high school. My high school had a program where students were the directors for all three of the high school productions.
Wow.
But the seniors were the ones that chose who would be on that track, you know, sophomore, junior, senior year. And I was such a geek among the theater geeks that I didn't even get selected for that.
Wow.
And I basically at that point said, well, if you're not going to let me do this, I'm going to go find someone who is. So it was really an act of defiance. So I went to the local community theater and actually started running that, and I just absolutely fell in love with directing, with putting shows together that way, and yeah. So
it was something you were attracted to from the beginning. Did you want to act? A lot of people I know in theater started as wanting to be actors.
Yeah,
right?
I think almost everyone starts that way. You know, I acted in shows through middle school, through high school, through college. I actually at BU, I was like the first class that they weren't cutting you from the program. You were either acting, or you got cut from the program,
oh,
like at BU. But BU was changing things when I went there. And so there was like acting and theater studies. And I remember at the end of freshman year, even though I went there for the theater studies program, when I didn't get acting, I was like, oh, I'm a failure. This is terrible.
Oh, no.
No, I have no desire to act at all.
That's really interesting.
Anymore, yeah.
Yeah, but it's important that you did try it at least. I always think directors need to have that little bit of a foundation
of what you're going through up there. Yeah, you have to have empathy for your actors. You have to understand what they're going on. I've actually said I kind of wish my biggest regret in terms of my education is not actually continuing to act after that point. You know, I did one or two more shows in college after being separated, whatever you want to call it.
Being kicked out of them.
Yeah. but really to continue to understand what it is, like what that relationship is from the other side.
Yeah. Well, as a director and as somebody who's helping people develop plays, I'm sure you're getting a great education.
Yeah.
Did you remember what the first play was that you actually directed?
The first play I directed was called Once Upon a Broomstick. And it was a children's theater show. That was with all younger people. And then the next show that I did after that was Little Women, which I did with some high school students and actually a few adult members of the community that I grew up in. So,
yeah. So you obviously have honed your skills starting in that young of an age, my goodness, and working up to repertory theater and stuff. Yeah. What kind of a director are you? Are you hands-on, micromanaging, or are you letting the actors explore?
That's such a great question. I lead with a lot of questions. I feel like the play is the thing, right? That all of the answers that I need for how this story needs to be told are in a script, you know, when it's a good script, right? So I'm always looking for the pieces that the writer is giving me to sort of tell me how to tell the story. But with actors, I find that the best performances, they need to come from them.
Yeah.
It needs to be personalized. It needs to be part of who they are, what they're seeing. So I lead with a lot of questions. I ask, you know, about why this is happening in this moment or why they're saying that, and so that it draws it out from them.
Yeah.
I also really love, what I love about theater is the collaboration. You know, I love putting a room full of people together and figuring out how they're going to work together.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's especially, you know, that thing about pulling out, it's almost like creating a character with someone right at those moments, right? You know what I want to ask you, too? If you're directing a play that has been done over and over, very famous, like something like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, something we've all seen 100 times.
How do you step away from that vision from those directors and put your own?
That's a really great question. I have not done a ton of classics. I love classics, and I love reinterpretation of them. But really, for me, it's always starting this question, like, what personalization? You know, what is the piece of this play that speaks to me? All art is personal. I feel like the way you create something that's universal is by personalizing.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's really where I start from something like that. What is the one thing that I see in this that is the thing that only I can see, uh-huh, or that only I can bring out of this play?
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about. I mean, I always wonder about actors who are going to play, say, Martha and Virginia Woolf. And how do you get Elizabeth Taylor out of your head, you know?
Yeah.
How do you get
You have
some
to start
that
with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you have to start from, because you're not Elizabeth Taylor, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not Elia Kazan.
Exactly, yeah.
So what is it, the thing that only you can do and that only you can bring, right?
That makes sense, absolutely. You know, I wanted to ask you, too, do you subscribe to any kind of particular acting technique when you're hiring actors for your plays?
I like people who are natural, you know, mm-hmm, people who are just, the best acting I feel is, I love unobserved behavior, you know, and just who we, like, yeah, that come to a piece in a way that's
You're
just
not looking
very,
for somebody with a Stanislavski method or,
no,
or one
yeah,
of those
I just,
of
and
methods.
Also, like, I've done a lot of work in casting. You know, one of the primary focuses of what I was doing in Boston was casting work.
Mm-hmm.
I love finding the right actor for the right part. But it's really just, yeah, when an actor and the part meet, it's something that's indescribable,
yeah,
actually.
And you know it when you see it, right?
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking, too. I've done theater, too, in the past and seen a lot of theater. And I'm amazed when you meet actors who are playing themselves that are so self-conscious. And then when they get into their characters, it's so entirely different.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a good actor who can do that.
Yeah, that transformational thing. But again, all of that still has to come from something that they
inside,
feel
yeah.
that, like, truthful. I think that's actually probably the word that I would, like, I love truthful actors.
And honesty and...
Yeah, openness, warmth, humor. I love humor. I feel the best dramatic performances have a tremendous amount of humor in them. You know, levity is something I'm always seeking in any scene, in any play, because I think that's how we are as human beings. I think that life is too challenging, you know, and in those moments of despair or hardship, that is what we look for. You know, we look for those moments of levity, and that's sort of a lot of what I try to do with the work that I do.
Yeah. So here we are. You've come to Ithaca, and you're taking over the Kitchen Theater that was run for 20 years by the unbelievably talented Rachel Lampert.
Yeah.
Tell us what are your visions? Are you going to do things a lot differently, do you think?
Well, I will say that, you know, I'd been looking for a theater for a while. And the second that I saw the lines, you know, what the kitchen was, bold, intimate, engaging, important conversations happened in the kitchen, I knew that this was the right theater for me. That's the kind of work that I do. I like to put plays, to do plays that have more questions, that raise more questions than provide answers.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of bold, intimate, engaging. I think that is exactly who I am. And what I'm so excited about is I feel like when you're looking for this kind of position, or when a theater is seeking, you know, a new leader, it's a marriage. You know, you have to match sensibility with...
And also when the rest of the staff is staying like they did
exactly,
at the kitchen. Exactly.
It's really – and that the theater is a brand. You know, that is the kitchen. You know, that is the kitchen's brand. That is the kitchen's place in Ithaca. So matching that felt very important to me. So what I feel like a lot of what I'm going to be doing is very similar to what Rachel has done. You know, it's the continuation of that kind of work. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that I love to do, or I love connection. I love the connection that theater has between artists, between a community, you know, creating community.
And everybody knows it's a quality theater, too, that's bringing new work. And even if it's new work, it's going to be produced just magnificently.
Yeah.
That's what I've always noticed. Yeah. Are you also going to nurture? I know you've nurtured upcoming writers and helped develop plays. Are you going to do the same thing? She nurtured women playwrights, people of color, all kinds of innovative new work. Are you going to continue that?
Definitely. You know, when I was trying to put this season in particular together, I wanted to create a multitude of perspectives. You know, that there's There's no similar point of view from any character or any writer or any director in this entire season. It's very eclectic in that way. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of different pieces stylistically. All of our directors are women this year. We only two of our writers out of seven are men. Several of them are people of color. That kind of multitude of perspectives felt very important to me in sort of establishing the multitude of ways that I create work. And one of the things that we're actually doing this year, which I'm really excited about, is we're doing a collaboration with a theater I've worked with for a number of years in Boston, on the Boston Playwrights Theater. Mm. And actually, it's a play that I've been working on it's a new play. It's never been done. It'll be a world premiere for us here.
Wow, nice.
And we're going to run it in Boston. We're going to rehearse it in Boston, run it in Boston. Then all of those actors, all of those designers will come here to Ithaca and go back into rehearsal and actually, after it's been run and reviewed and all of that stuff, and look at it again and try to create something even more exciting. But yes, that's the kind of—I love new work. And I'm really trying to look at how does a theater the size of The Kitchen support that kind of development process.
Yeah, we need new voices in every realm in the arts, it seems to me, that so much is closed off, Tell me, you said that you helped to realize new works and, mm-hmm. and stuff at your Boston theater. How does somebody do that with a playwright? I mean, do you have that much input? Can you change lines? Can you tell a playwright that they're not going in the right direction or that this character's saying something that doesn't seem real? How do you develop a play with someone?
I mean, it really depends on the writer, and every process is different. And I, the same way that I always ask the question, what does this play need? How does the story need to be told? You have to start with the person that you're dealing with. How does this writer need to be developed? So a lot of what we had a writer at one point who literally couldn't write anything unless he had bodies in the room and things to play with, right?
Really?
Like he couldn't, mm-hmm. he'd just throw a script together in weekends and it would be crazy and brilliant and all of those wonderful things, but he couldn't make any edits unless everything was happening. So we had to create this whole process where for 2 weeks and two separate weeks so that there was time away, we had cardboard, an expressionist sort of wacky, crazy, gender-bending production of M, the Fritz Lang movie.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Right? So it was like this totally crazy thing where then we had like cardboard cutouts of all these, sort of just throwing all those people into a room so that he could see everything and how it would all move and in order for him to like restructure the whole play,
And so, then, so you have to accommodate what the writer needs, I guess, and you have to find that out,
have to meet them in their own space, And part of, you have to learn who they are, Same thing with the Craig Lucas play that I worked on. I worked on that for about 2.5 years. That was that production was told entirely in English and American Sign Language. And we had to have deaf people come into the room. We had five, something like that, workshops with interpreters and actors and, how does that conversation happen? And, he needed to be the director. In that process, he needed to understand what he was writing, why he was writing it. And in order to do that, he needed to have that kind of ability to navigate both things.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Bevan O'Gara. She's the new producing artistic director of Ithaca's Kitchen Theater Company. And we're talking to her about her past experiences and her vision for The Kitchen in the coming years. We're going through this incredible political and cultural chaos and upheaval. Do you feel like you need to have plays speak to that? Or do you want to entertain people? Or do you feel moved to start commenting on social issues?
Well, I think the way that I'm choosing to do that, I think it's really important that those conversations happen. But the way that theater can do it, obviously we're not doing plays that are, head-on tackling 45, right?
Right. Yeah.
And that was a very specific choice.
That will take years for people to
develop
that. Exactly.
Yeah. But there's also, what's happening right now is there are all of these perspectives, challenges, issues, like all of those things that are bubbling up. And when putting this season together, it felt really important to me to sort of touch on each of those things, gender identity, mm-hmm. race, gay culture, masculinity, femininity, all of those, what it means to be a person today, So what we tried to do in putting the season together is to touch on all of those things mm-hmm. and represent all of those
things. So you were cognizant of the fact that this is a culture right now that really wants people to address these issues. That's really interesting.
And especially for a theater like The Kitchen that is about conversation. Mm-hmm. I always ask this question, why this play now? Why this play now here, right? So the play, every story has to talk to this moment in whatever form that takes, whatever that means, right? So that's definitely a large part of what we're trying to do, mm-hmm. but probably not, directly head on in the way that some people might be doing.
No, I know. And I do think it'll take a few years for people to figure out what's happening at this moment because it's so constantly changing and moving. And
yeah.
There's the weather patterns that are destroying whole countries. It's just unbelievable what's mm-hmm. going on. What do you want audiences to take when they walk out of a theater? Do you want them to be changed or do you want them to just be entertained? I assume you want them to be having conversations.
Yeah, well, I think the only way to necessitate change is through entertaining. I love laughter, I love humor. And I think that is part of the way that change is necessitated, right? I do want them to be changed. I do want them to be questioning something. I want them to see something differently than they had seen before. That's the kind of theater that when I see myself in something that looks or feels nothing like me, that is really exciting to me.
Yeah.
And that's sort of one of the things I like my audiences to do.
Yeah, and I think theater can still change hearts and minds. All the arts can, because people are afraid of things they've never met, mm-hmm. stuff they don't know. And if they see somebody on the stage with a different color skin or somebody who's transgender and it's like your sister or like your best friend down the street. So it's that human touch that brings people together. And in theater, it's so intimate.
Yeah, and one of the most exciting moments I've ever had as a director, I was doing Milk Like Sugar by Kirsten Greenidge, which is a play about a teenage pregnancy pact. It's about three diverse young women who are all 14 and they decide to all get pregnant together. It's a show. Yeah, and it's a beautiful play ultimately about the inability to have options, right?
Mm-hmm.
And many, many, many other things. And several times people came up to me saying, and I got this gorgeous email after the first performance, but people saying, I came into this play thinking it had nothing to do with me, and I saw myself on stage, and I felt something for these girls because I saw a piece of who I am in a very unexpected way.
Wow.
And that's the thing I aim to do, is to surprise you by holding a mirror up to nature, right? Holding a mirror up to yourself and seeing something and identifying with someone that you never thought you would.
Yeah. Do you feel like the regional theater needs to be connected to the wider world, too? We can't just keep our little, people make fun of it because sometimes they're a little liberal enclave, little bubble, they call it. But you must think that even though you're working in a specific theater, the wider world is still a very important thing to bring into it.
Yeah, very much so. My feel of regional theater, and I've only wanted to work in regional theater. I've almost never had any interest in being in New York. But regional theater is really mm-hmm. where my passion is. And I think the role of regional theater is to take what is the best locally and bring it into and push it towards the national scene.
Oh.
And also the opposite, to take what is the best of the national scene and bring it into local focus. So that exchange of larger, bigger picture national ideas and talent and local community, grassroots, how those things intersect and connect is really exciting to me. The best work that I produced in Boston was when we were bringing world-class directors in and having them use a ton of local actors or using a local director, asking a local director to come in and work with talent that they never, directors, actors, designers that they hadn't worked with before. That combination, that energy of, and part of that's about change and working in a different way. I constantly want to be challenging myself. And I think that that's the best way for art. That you, once you figure out what you're doing, you throw it all out and you try something, you try another way to do it. And I think that that kind of synergy actually allows for that to happen with artists.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever tried to write a play?
Oh, God, no.
Never? But that seems like almost a natural transition that you would make if you know how to help people develop their own.
I actually, I'm I love to help other people create that kind of thing. And my husband's a playwright, is a writer in general. But no, I have utterly no desire. I actually also come from a family of a lot of writers. And I wrote like one 10-minute play in college. And I did like create a space for a play to exist in. And what I mean by that is like I created a situation, and this was in college. I created a situation and created a series of characters and threw a whole bunch of actors in and said, improvise this play. And we never actually wrote the script, but that was kind of a cool experience. But no, the thing I hate the most in the world is sitting in front of a blank screen,
To create something.
Yeah, and trying to write something. That's like so not me.
You know what? Going back to this cultural upheaval that we're going through, I'm hoping that I will see more one women and one men shows where people talk about, you know, like Anna Deavere Smith and some of those powerful, you know, writings and characters that people are developing to talk about social issues. I think that would be fabulous. Yeah. Is there anything like that on your agenda?
Well, actually, we start rehearsals Tuesday for Brahmani, a one hijra stand-up comedy routine, which is actually about B, who's an intersex comedian, which basically means it's a person who's born neither male nor female, right? And it's all about their identity, finding their place in the world, life through middle school, high school, how uncomfortable and awful it is for all of us. And then there's a whole section about Galileo Galilei. So it's like a lot of very personal things.
Who was persecuted, right? Yeah.
And there's Monty Python in it. And, you know, and it's a comedy. It's a stand-up comedy routine.
About persecution.
Well, about identity, heliocentrism.
That's great.
But really about ultimately how, in order to create... how do you ever respond to society's view of what your identity should be when you're struggling with creating your own identity for yourself?
Yeah.
And it's the actor who's coming in is a dear, dear friend of mine who's just utterly explosive. Her name is Isla Peck. And I'm really excited to bring that here because it's a comedy routine that becomes a play, and it's totally unexpected.
That sounds like something totally timely for this moment.
And what's so funny is there are so many topics that it tackles and how it weaves them together. You know, we were just sort of trying to create some interest groups this week where I was like, oh, we can get the post-colonial studies department to come in, gender studies, astronomy,
that's the connections you're looking for.
And that's sort of, and how all of those things come together. Yeah, and how to bring that community together through the work.
Yeah. You know, obviously, Rachel Lampert developed this incredible company of people and this ensemble groups of actors that she got to perform over and over. Are you going to bring a bunch of new people in? Are you going to start anew or are some of the same people we're going to see again?
Well, you're going to see Carl Gregory. That's the question I've gotten the most. Yes, every brilliant thing. Carl is coming back. I love
no,
Carl.
No, that's a no-brainer. Of course.
Pretty much. But I really think what my job is to do is, you know, to be as authentic to myself as I can while also being as authentic and genuine to what has made the kitchen as successful as it is, right?
Yeah.
So combining those two things, you know, bringing my community to the kitchen community, bringing my community to the Ithaca community, and that's really, you know, that's really that combination of things is what I'm really looking to do. So you'll definitely see people that you recognize, but there'll also be a lot of interesting new faces. And again, it's for me, this is about constantly creating, you know, constantly creating a sense of challenging yourself, right? Like that and how much change is a huge part of making that possible, right?
Yeah. Well, what are you looking for in actors when you're looking to hire actors? Especially if you're looking for somebody to be part of the company in some way. So are you looking for people who are easy to get along with?
I'm actually pretty known in Boston and even in New York. You know, I have a very good friend who's the New York casting director that I've worked with for a while. I want people who are going to serve the play. You know, and you can't serve the play if you're it, not necessarily that you're easy to work with, but that everything that you're giving is in service of something that is not just you, something that is greater than yourself.
Yeah.
Those are the people that I want to be working with. No matter, I think there are enough. I've said this a lot. There are enough talented people in this world that you don't need to work with jerks.
Yeah, or somebody who's very needy and needs to be taken care
and
of.
And like that, needy,
and that
needy
happens a lot
certain,
in theater, right?
It does, and like. Sometimes, like actors, you know, are very like the vulnerability of what they put out there.
Oh,
sort of breeds some of that neediness, and it's not, you know, people need support, right? And I love to do that. But if all of that is coming from a place of this is the story that we're all trying to tell, I'm happy to deal with any of that. But they all have to be there to serve that common purpose. Yeah. If you're not there to serve that common purpose, that's, you know, that's not someone
that's
I want to
work
with.
For the, for the ensemble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I worked in theater and I've talked to other theater people about this, there's always this high drama, you know, people falling in love. And when the thing's getting ready to close, everybody gets emotional. Don't you think theater directors have to be kind of psychologists, too?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, honestly, you almost have to save people from themselves during those moments when it gets so emotional.
Yes. You know, I think that it's just about support. You know, it's really just, and again, meeting people with what they need to be met with.
But that is the fun part of theater, too, that drama that happens behind the scenes. Well, sometimes,
I
not
like
always.
To keep the drama on the stage as much as I can. Supposed to be. I'm also, like, I'm an epically practical person in a way that, like, I think surprises a lot of people for like, the art, you know. So I like systems. I like putting things, I like things to run smoothly.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I like things to run a specific way, but that being smoothly.
But theater is not a business in some ways.
It can be, though.
But it's messy.
It is.
And it needs to be messy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And how do you balance? And that's sort of why I think I'm one of the things that makes me a very interesting artist is I both embrace that messiness while also embracing practicality and, like, how those two things combine.
And, of course, a playwright works for years oftentimes, and you want your piece to be staged with some kind of sense, right?
Exactly. The show, the story, all actually need to somehow be communicated to that audience in a way that is digestible. And I don't mean that in, like, that it's easy, but just in a way that helps them meet the play.
Yeah. Bevan, we're almost out of time. I want to ask you this one last question because people have asked me this. Are we going to see the Kitchen Theater doing other things besides theater? Because I know, you know, we had rock groups in there for a fundraiser and people loved it. Are you going to use the theater for other things?
I would love for the community to come to us and use the space. You know, a theater is a community space. You know, what I do is theater. I do theater in a messier way. Brahmini, the one person show, actually also features a live musician.
Mm.
So that kind of thing gets mashed up into what I do. But, you know, I don't think you're going to see us doing a concert series, but I would love to see a concert series.
Yeah. So you're open to other
completely,
other
completely
arts and
open
stuff.
To other arts. You know, I love what Rachel's done with the gallery there.
It's a beautiful space.
It's a great space.
It really is. We can envision it for many different things. Yeah. Can you give some contact information?
People
can get in touch with you. Just the Kitchen Theater
just
company?
The website. Can you ask that question again?
Can you give people some contact information so that they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, all of our information is right on the website, kitchentheater.org.
Okay, well, Bevan O'Gara, welcome to Ithaca.
Thank you so much
for
welcoming me.
We're so excited to see what you're going to do with this magnificent theater. And good luck.
Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outoboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.